Hello and welcome to the European Patients Podcast, representing the voice of patients in Europe. This podcast is brought to you by the European Patients Forum, the leading voice of patient organizations on the continent. My name is Anne, Communications Officer at EPF, and your host on today's pod. Welcome to a new episode of Periscope Talks. If you're tuning in for the first time, the Periscope project was launched in 2020 and investigates the broad socio-economic and behavioral impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic to make Europe more resilient and prepared for future large-scale health risks. Around the airing of this episode, Periscope comes to an end. A final conference took place on 8 September 2023 in Brussels. In the context of Periscope, EPF, in collaboration with project partners FIAM, SEPS, and INSERM, conducted a survey to assess the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic on the welfare of patients with chronic diseases. The COVID-19 pandemic has posed significant challenges to patients, especially as healthcare services faced major disruptions and backlogs, and the hospital environment became less safe. A special thanks goes out to the co-authors of the survey report, Simon Ducaros from INSERM, Juan José Fernández Romero, Emma Martinez from FEAM, and Timothy Young from SEPS. To discuss the results, I'm here with Anka Thoma today, Executive Director of EPF. Hello, Anka, and thank you for joining us today. Could you tell us a bit more about EPF's activities as part of the Periscope project?
Sure, and thank you for the invitation to be part of the podcast. In Periscope, a couple of years ago, we joined this project, which has so many partners, because it was so important to join forces and understand the lessons and the next steps and what needs to happen in the future to make things a bit easier for health systems in case of another pandemic or of another health emergency. It's quite obvious that the COVID pandemic has put significant pressure on healthcare systems, and it showed the challenge of protecting citizens' health despite the disruptions to medicines and medical product supply chains. Now, patients with chronic diseases were amongst the most vulnerable to the pandemic for several reasons. One, because they were at higher risk of serious illness or death, but also because they were the first affected by the disruptions in the provision of healthcare services. So for certain groups of patients, this was a real concern because of treatment delays and discontinuation of treatment and care. So in Periscope, we've conducted an initial survey of the impact of the pandemic. That actually happened before Periscope started in the late summer of 2020. And the results of that survey showed that there was so much room for improvement for both healthcare providers and national authorities. We put that survey, and we used the methodology of that survey to conduct another round in 2022. Building on the initial consultation, and which generated a lot more responses. Because it was available in four languages, we reached a wider audience. And so we had almost 850 responses, out of which 650 were patients themselves. So what we've seen in the second survey is that patients continue to face important challenges during the pandemic and after the pandemic as well. And while the first survey showed delays and discontinuation of treatment, a 2 years later, the same concerns remained. And that is it's a very important piece of information. Now, we had a certain amount of homogeneity in the second round of survey. because we had the majority of respondents in Spain, women, or in autoimmune disorders. And we did a group heterogeneity analysis to see whether that could influence the result. But in conjunction with the literature review, we saw that actually the answers and the concerns did not differ significantly, and they also echo a lot of the existing published evidence. So in short, this survey of barriers in access to care by patients was one of the most important activities that we run in the Periscope project. It showed some of the most poignant barriers and concerns of the patient community in relation to the pandemic management. And it will be used to support also the development of the policy recommendations that are developed in the project.
So you already mentioned a few conclusions of the survey. Could you follow up a bit on them?
Sure. I mentioned delays and discontinuation of treatment, as mentioned by about a third of participants. What was really concerning was that more than half of the patients we consulted experienced stress, anxiety, and isolation, which came on top of their issue of their conditions and the issues related to their conditions. Safety of care, patient safety, and their feeling of safety and their care was also a concern, and that may have resulted in fewer visits to healthcare services due to the infection risks. The other concerning bit in the survey is that patients flagged the lack of clear information and communication from their healthcare providers, both on treatments and services. And they felt disenfranchised and disempowered from playing an active role in their care and in their own health. And that was even more so during the pandemic. So that's why at the height of the pandemic, EPF issued a call to health authorities to work more with patient organizations to identify solutions and ensure the effective flow of information. Because that is an essential complement to the access to treatments and to therapies for chronic disease patients.
Right. And zooming out a bit again, was there one finding that was particularly surprising from the survey?
We found that that telehealth really grew in its role in healthcare, especially because it enabled them to have access to physicians, to healthcare professionals, even when in-person appointments were not possible. So what we would say as a result of that is that it could still be applied today for patients in isolated areas or for patients who are less able to leave their home. That said, with telehealth, there are still things that could be improved to achieve greater patient satisfaction, and more research should probably be conducted to identify patient concerns and preferences in relation to telehealth. That's why we would really call for increased focus on digital health literacy. That would be a prerequisite for patients to make better use of telemedicine. A second learning that perhaps we didn't see coming when this whole thing started is the emergence of long COVID, and and that many patients experience symptoms long after the initial testing period, and that there's a clear need to better understand long COVID and what care is available for patients, especially those with pre-existing conditions.
And in general, how do you believe the survey results support calls for a stronger health union?
Oh, that's a very big question. Mm-hmm. I would focus on 3 points. The first is really the importance of public communication in the preparedness of health systems, but also of public communication in building the health union. You can't really consider a true European health union without the involvement of citizens. And having that two-way communication would be used to identify, to measure, and to mitigate potential impact on existing patients, on citizens at large, and of any health measures, including pandemic preparedness measures. The second area where I would strengthen the role of this in the health union is really I can't go around it. Is learnings for the pharmaceutical legislation. And one of the real concern of the patient community is around shortages and the management systems to prevent and mitigate shortages. The third big learning that I would mention is the importance of making systems more person-centered, more patient-centered, so that they are able to grow and adapt and learn from patients. And that goes hand in hand with the importance of communication, but it's also about the potential of healthcare systems to draw in patient input rather than just communicate out to the wider population. So these are the 3 points: people-centeredness, communication, and using the legislative tools that we've got to build more resilient supply chains. There are others, but if there would be 3 points that I would really focus on, these would be the ones.
All right. And to round up the conversation, how do you look, in a few sentences, how do you look at the future, the next coming years?
Well, we've got European elections coming up, the European Health Union is a fantastic basis for further discussion. Many today feel that the European Health Union will be constrained by the treaties we have. And so this discussion needs to be had also on a constitutional level, on an EU constitutional level. Where do we want to go from here? What kind of European Union we want to have that can deliver a European health union? And in the context of the elections, I think this needs to be addressed. Because the next mandate will cover the next 5 years, and we have not yet fully recovered from the pandemic. We still have learnings to draw from the pandemic. And it's really, really essential from Periscope that the lessons and the recommendations that come up are taken up actively and assertively by the project partners to integrate into the political discussions and to the next political mandate. We can't really afford to fail European citizens and European patients.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights.
Thank you.
you once again to Anca Thoma for joining us today. As the aftermath of the COVID-19 pandemic is still reverberating across Europe and beyond, the Periscope Project has uncovered valuable insights into the multifaceted impact of COVID-19 and has offered practical measures to pave the way for a more resilient and prepared continent. The lessons learned from COVID-19 must serve as a blueprint for building stronger, more interconnected public health systems across Europe. We are the European Patients Forum, the leading voice of patient organizations in Europe, with 79 members across the continent. Thank you all for tuning in.